All right, good morning, everyone. Merry Christmas, everyone. All right. It is good to be in the house of the Lord on Christmas Eve. We don't know when the Lord exactly when he was born, but it's good to pick one day out of the year to celebrate it.
He's one of the elders.
Let us just settle down. We do this every year. We have a time of just reflecting on all that Jesus has done for us. Coming to this world, breathing our air, sharing our space. We thank him. There's no God like him. No God like the God we serve. Open up in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this glorious day. Thank you for your mercy, your goodness, and your kindness. We ask you, Father, to take advantage of the time. So funny I'm saying that came to my mind. Lord, we're here. We could have been any place else, Lord, but we're here. And we want you to do something special today. Not just tradition. Not just everything we prepared and laid down. We want your hand to be in this. We want to experience your presence. And we want to share with you the gratitude that we have. From the bottom of our heart, we thank you. Thank you for loving us like you do. Becoming one of us. And Lord, dying on the cross for us. All this points to the cross. And the resurrection, and someday us being home with you forever and ever. We thank you for that, Lord. Prepare our hearts, Lord. Let us, Lord, make room for you in our hearts, Lord. During the rest of this day, the rest of this season, don't let anything crowd you out, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.
Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. In Christ the Lord. I
morning and Merry Christmas.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It would be hard for me to read this without stopping and teaching, but we'll get through it. But I do want to say this. Remember, everything I'm about to read was all done for our sake. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went from Galilee out of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her delivery, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day, to you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And as they came with haste, they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all of those who heard it marveled at these things which were told him by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. When the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them.
It's all he's done, he's praying for us, and
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome this morning as we celebrate our Christmas Eve service in the morning. Usually doing this in the evenings, but it fell on a Sunday this week, and we felt like no better way to celebrate the morning and then have lunch afterwards, right? So y'all stay with us after service. We're going to be having lunch for everyone who can stay. But our title of our message this morning goes along with the song that we just sang. Johnny and I coordinated that song together a little bit. He did most of the work. He came up with the tune and the chorus on it, and I contributed a little bit on the verses, and it was just a blessing that we were able to do this song together. But it was funny because when he came to me with this title, it's something the Lord had already laid on my heart regarding the fact that Jesus is no longer a baby. And so the title is No Longer a Child. So every year as we come together and we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we know that this is not actually Jesus' birthday. I know some people, you know, they struggle with that because, well, you know, he couldn't have been born in December. That was cold. It was hard. You know, the trip that they took and the journey that they had to take would probably have been next to impossible in the wintertime. So it was probably spring or maybe summer when they actually did the trek and Jesus was born. But we know that for tradition, we've celebrated this day, and it's an extraordinary event that we celebrate the 25th and 24th, well, pretty much the 24th and 25th of every year of December. Jesus was born of a woman, but he was not born of a man. He was not conceived by man. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And it's so important that we grab a hold of this truth, because this is a foundational truth. Without this, nothing else makes sense. And I know to some people, well, that doesn't make sense. Well, it's because God did it. And sometimes we have to put these finite minds of ours aside and accept the miraculous movement of God when he moves. In Matthew 1, 18 through 23, we read, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for that which she is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and she'll call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And then we read in Luke 1, 30 through 35, Then the angel said to her, this is to Mary, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. And then Mary said to the angel, How can this be? Since I do not know a man. And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now this foundational truth of Jesus' birth is an absolute regarding our Christian faith. If we deny this, denies the deity of Jesus Christ. He's just another man. Oh, he could have been a good man. He could have been a good prophet. But he didn't have the power of God in him because he was born of a man. He would have been born into sin, just like you and I are born into sin. Since the fall of Adam, each one is now born into sin. But not Jesus. He was born of God and of woman. So therefore, he was human, but he was also God. But he wouldn't have been able to be the perfect sacrificial lamb that was required if he was born of man. And this is why we celebrate. And even though we don't know the actual day he was born, and we also know that
There are many days and many pagan holidays that celebrate today. You know, we've got Santa Claus and we have all the other things, but we also have the winter solstice and the things where they celebrate the seasons. They celebrate the moon, the stars, and all of these other things that go along with this season. But we celebrate, in our hearts, we celebrate Jesus. We celebrate Jesus. Now, I want to make sure that while the focus of our celebration is His birth, because that's why we're here this morning, to celebrate the birth of Jesus. But I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that this took place over 2,000 years ago, and He's no longer a child. He's no longer a child. Jesus grew up. Our first glimpse was when He was only 12 years old. Luke 2, 41 through 42. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when He was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when they finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, evidently they had a pretty crowd entourage they were going with. It's kind of like Home Alone. Jesus got left at the synagogue. And it says, having thought that He was in the company, they went a day's journey and sought Him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find Him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking Him. Now, so it was that after 3 days, they found Him in the temple. Now, Jesus, at 12 years old, could have been wandering around like most 12 years old. He could have been getting into trouble, going around stealing an apple or fruit, or saying, well, Mom and Daddy's not around and I'm hungry. But where did we find Him? In the temple. After 3 days, they find Him in the temple, and He's sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard Him were astonished at His understanding and answers. So when they saw Him, they were amazed. And His mother said to Him, Son, why have you done this to us? Can you imagine chastising Jesus? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And He said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? But they did not understand the statement which He spoke to them. Then He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But His mother kept all these things in her heart. Mary was a ponderer. She pondered a lot of things. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with men. So even at 12 years old, Jesus was doing the will of His Father. And we know that that's why Jesus came, to do the will of His Father. That was His purpose. His earthly ministry began when He was approximately 30 years old. So for 29 some years, He was at home. He was working as a carpenter, working with Joseph. He was still subject to His mother. As a matter of fact, you remember when He started His ministry? He was subject to His mother then. She said, son, go and do something. You know what you got to do. He's like, my time has yet not come. But He did it because Mama told Him to. But then His ministry on earth began. It only lasted for about 3 years. And then He went to that cross and He died for your sin and for my sin. But then He rose again. And when He rose again, He then ascended to heaven and begins His earth or His heavenly ministry. He's now seated as a high priest in heaven at the right hand of the Father. And what is He doing? He's interceding for us. That's His heavenly ministry, His high priest. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a high priest, a great high priest, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And then Hebrews 7, 24 through 25 reads, but He, because He continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, He is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. And that's what Jesus is doing as we speak this morning. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He is interceding for us. He's no longer a child. And as we do celebrate His birth, we understand that He is now a high priest. And He is sitting at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. So this morning, I want us to remember, and I want us to celebrate. I want us to keep our hearts and mind in the place of celebration about the fact that Jesus came as a baby, that He was born as a man, but He was also born as God. And He had the power of God within Him from the time He was conceived until the time He died on that cross and then rose again. And now He sits with the Father in heaven. He is no longer a child. And this is something that we can celebrate even beyond the Christmas story. This is a wonderful story. It's a wonderful truth. It's a wonderful foundation. But all of it comes together in the will of the Father. If it hadn't have been for the Father's will for all of mankind to be redeemed, because we all need redemption. There's none born today that does not need to be redeemed back to God. Well, we can know about God. We can listen about God. We can read about God. We can hear stories about God. We can go to church. But without receiving the gift that God gave us through His Son Jesus as our Redeemer, then it's all stories. It's just all good talk. It's all something we can be fun and happy about and whatever. And then we move on about our lives. But without the relationship with Jesus Christ, it's nothing more than fable. So today I want to encourage you. We celebrate His birth, but we celebrate His life because He is alive today interceding for us. So I want to wish you all from Calvary Chapel River Oaks here in Cartersville, Georgia, Merry Christmas, and keep Jesus right here in your heart. Amen. Father, we thank You for this time. We thank You for the celebration. We thank You, Lord, that You are still alive. You didn't stay in the grave. There are many prophets who claim to have power, claim to be from God, but when they died, they stayed dead. Their bones You can dig up today. But You, Jesus, You were not in that tomb. No one could find You until You revealed Yourself after You rose again. And as we covered in our message last week, over 500 saw it. And so we know by the 500 testimonies it was true. And we know that they saw You rise and go up into the heavens through the clouds. And the angels even said, "Why are you staring into the clouds? Do you not know that He will return the same way that He went up?" So we have this hope, Lord. You're coming back. And this is something we can celebrate. So we praise You and we thank You and we worship You. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Good morning again. I won't be here long. As we have our communion service, I want us to reflect on the things that Jesus done for us. Some popular scripture that was around Christmas time we hear a lot of times is Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. And we read, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Excuse me. Let us keep in mind, those are two different things. The human side is a child is born. On the heavenly side, a son is given. Those are two different things altogether. And it says, "And the government will be upon His shoulders. And His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of His increase in His government, the peace will be no end." And it goes on, "He was set upon the throne of His father David, which Mary promised," or the angel promised to Mary. And I want to, Malachi, one of my favorite scriptures is, "He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly." To act justly. And that's something we could all think on really closely. To love mercy. And that's hard sometimes. When someone does you wrong, to show mercy instead of lashing out. As I was talking with my son about it, you know, I'm getting more where I win those battles sometimes. It's where I win those battles sometimes, and other times I may lose, and I have to ask for mercy myself. And to walk humbly with our God. As we think on who He is, our Creator, our Giver of life, sustains our next breath, created us, gave us life, and gave us eternal life. If that doesn't humble you, then you need to maybe do a little soul searching. And a very popular scripture, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life." And 17 goes on to say, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but through Him that the world may be saved." So when mankind fell, we had a problem. We were born into sin. If you've ever committed one little sin, you cannot enter in the presence of God because you're no longer perfect. And we all hear about the Beatitudes in Matthew, I think it's 5, 6, and 7. Whereas, you know, well, I live by that. Yeah, I see that. If you could possibly get through all of it and say, "Yes, I've done that, and I do this, and I've never messed up there," the last verse will slay you, where it says, "As your Father in heaven is perfect, so be ye perfect." Ouch. I'm done. Game over. But see, we had a problem because we can't be perfect. We got to understand also God had a problem. Because He wanted us in His presence. And because of our sin, we couldn't go. So He sent His only Son. Walked among us, born, walked among us, died, rose again, and now intercedes for us. You see, the high priest, there was no chairs in the tabernacle. They were always officiating, always working. When Jesus went up, He sat down because the work was complete. And the only time in Scripture we find Him standing is when He welcomed Stephen in. He stood to say, "Come on, my child." And I feel like one day He's going to do it for all of us. But I want us to examine our hearts as we come. You can go ahead and come get the elements here for communion.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah is right. Praise be unto God for what he has done. I know as we represent, this is a natural representation of a spiritual act that he done in remembrance that all he come and done was for our benefit, for our sake, not for his own, but for us. So let us live our lives in a way we can benefit others. As we lift up his body, Father, we thank you. Jesus, thank you for coming and doing all that you've done in completing the work, Lord. When you said to tell us, die, it is finished. You didn't say we're finished, but the plan of salvation is finished. Thank you for that now, Lord, as we take this representation of your broken body. As Lord, as it enters into us, Lord, let us think on it, Lord. And now, Lord, as you shed your precious blood to cleanse us, Lord, to wash us clean as if we had never committed a sin, Lord. We're not sinless, Lord, but we're blameless and washed clean because and only because of what you've done, Lord. Thank you. And I pray not only on this day that we celebrate the coming of Jesus, let us celebrate every day, for he has come, he is completed, and he stands with arms outstretched saying, come to me, all of you who are heavy laden and burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Not rest as the world knows, but you rest in him, for he is our rest. Thank you, and God bless you, and Merry Christmas. We'll have our candle lighting, please.
Start lighting across the front rows, and if you guys would, just kind of turn and light the candles behind you. Does everybody got a candle? If you don't, we make sure we can grab one for you. But what this represents for us as we do this, it's a tradition. But we have to remember that Jesus himself said he's the light of the world. He is the light of the world. But then he went on to say that you're the light of the world. And as the light of the world, our light must shine. And if you think about this one candle, you represent one light. See, the thing that people get confused about a lot of times about church is they think they're going to church. Well, you are the church. You are the church. You individually bring your light together with everyone else's light, and then we shine together, and that light is bright when we're all walking in unity with God, walking with His Spirit, being united with Him first. See, a lot of people talk about unity today. Well, we're just not in unity with one another. Well, we have to be in unity with the Holy Spirit first. because he's the one supposed to be directing our paths. He's the light. He brightens our steps, lays the light out for us, the steps we're supposed to take, the light into our path, the lamp into our feet. And so therefore, as we take this candle, we look at it as a representation that this is who we are in Christ. We're one light, but then we come together. We start to light one another. We let everyone see our light. And I believe that those who have that light in them will recognize the light in others. Because it's one light that shines in us all. So I want you to lift your light. Let everyone see your light. It's an encouragement to one another. The light in you not only encourages those in Christ around us, but then it's a light to the world. It's a light for others to see, to know what we have in our heart is the living and loving Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. He brings His Word alive in us. And when we live this light in darkness, it will have to be seen. Darkness has to flee in light. So let's remember who we are in Christ. As we celebrate His birth today, we remember that every day we're the light and we represent Jesus Christ in a dark world. Amen? Father, we thank You for this time that we have together. We thank You, Lord, for the time that we worship. And everyone in here, Lord, has the light that's within them, those who know Jesus Christ. And I encourage you this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ, receive Him for who He is, not just for what you know about Him, but know that He is a living being that dwells within you in a relationship. And He wants that relationship. He wants to redeem you back to the Father. So thank You, Jesus. We love You. We praise You. We worship You. And we celebrate You. And all God's people said, amen, amen and amen.
In the darkness we were waiting. Without light, till from heaven You came running, there was mercy in Your eyes. To fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the Word. From a throne of endless glory, to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Son, praise the Spirit. dead, and the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe for the souls of all who come to the Father are restored, and the Church of Christ was born. Then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth the born shall not kneel and shall not fade. Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me.
We all go out from this day forward with the light shining, Jesus in our hearts, loving Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving one another as ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you all, and Merry Christmas.